Peace, family. Welcome to another episode of Fresh Feral Entertainment. We're your host. I'm Horace the Feral.
It's the guy, Donnie Ascended.
And it's your boy, Rod the God, back at you with another banger for the people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all read the title, Understanding the Baphomet Part 2. You feel what I'm saying? Ever since we dropped the first episode, or the first part of that episode, we got from all of you who listen. And since the hiatus, that episode is blown up exponentially. You know what I'm saying? So clearly, the fans and everybody was resonating with that episode and all the new people we garnered throughout the time. And that was really just like intro to the topic. So, I mean, aside from the part of it just being a part one, which kind of means we should do a part two, we feel like it would make sense for us to revisit that conversation and go even help people understand how to utilize this tool, this in occultism, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And before we get started, we're going to do what we always do, you know, we follow the page, we about to hit 100, you know what I'm saying? We like it 99, literally. So, whoever listening ain't following you, cool. Go ahead and follow.
Come on, bro. Be 100th. Make some history right here, bro. That's when we're famous. Like, thank you out for the 100th guy.
It was awesome. Yeah, we'll shout out the 100th follower.
Watch out, bro. Show. we'll send good energy your way, bro. You next week gonna be fire. Just wait for it. Bro.
Oh god,
they're
gonna win the lottery next week.
For sure, for sure, for sure.
And you know, make sure you follow. Make sure you leave reviews. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna get the YouTube page up and running again. So,
also suggestions.
Say what?
I said also suggestions.
Oh, yeah, sure. Y'all could always send in suggestions about topics y'all want to hear. And, you know, if it's deep enough or if it's good enough to really, you know, get a good, we can really expound upon it, we'll definitely do an episode on it. You know what I'm saying? And we'll shout out whoever recommended the episode to make you feel good, make your little kundalini tingle. You know what I'm saying?
Always.
So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump on this episode. The last time we discussed this topic, I think we discussed really the basics of what the Baphomet did. Period we in, just like astrologically, stuff like this will become more prevalent in society as people are starting to actually look back and understand what's really going on. You know what I'm saying?
And
it's really, this is like, I guess you could say, like the mother of all symbols to occultism and metaphysics, all of that. And it's like the Godfather, you know what I'm saying? It's like Godfather is like the pinnacle of all mafia movies. The Baphomet is your pinnacle of all occultism, all religion. I feel confident enough to say that almost every religion derives from the Baphomet, you know what I'm saying, with complete confidence.
Because it got so many of the principles that we've discussed in previous episodes all in one image. Kind of crazy.
Like, we talked about how it represents androgynous, how it has both the male and the female parts. And, well, really, I guess what we got to go into is how you should utilize it and how you should really interpret it. The first part, we really just explained what they were. But now we're talking about it in relation to your subconscious mind and what to almost... How you know it's a gauge. It's almost like you can tell what level you're at based upon it. And
put it to use in time, like not in time, in your everyday usage, like everyday
life. Like, for example, the average person who says they're spiritual, you know, if you tell them stuff like, if you just say, let's just say you name things that conscious people love, right? They love chakras, right? The ones who love chakras. They love hearing about kundalini. They love talking about the pineal gland.
Meditation, certain stones, points on the earth.
Right? But when you show them the Baphomet, they say, oh, I don't rock with that. But I was like, well, that's everything you just said you liked. This is the epitome of that. You see what I'm saying? So, and one way I think you can test to see someone where's at, because think about it, the Baphomet literally has all this, and you have to start David on top of it, right? Which we can break down later in the episode. You got the raising palm, just as the Buddha did. You have the folding of the legs, that meditation, that yoga, that root chakra symbolization. It's so many things. You have the wings that represent freedom. You have the things that represent chakra all through this. Yet the one factor I think that really differentiates it is that smile, that little evil grin on that motherfucker. You show someone that evil grin. I'm going to let you get to it. I just want to make this quick little point. I think if you show someone that evil grin, their reaction will be a good way to... If someone gets scared of that, it's not for them. They're not at that level yet to understand it. You know, like when you were a kid and you know something everybody's scared at, or not even scared, they're like, hey, nah, tell me more. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Inside you, I feel like it'll be a spark internally that draws you to it, which is dope that you're ready for the information. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Originally, the Baphomet design had like that neutral face, so it wasn't looking like it's monstrous or growling or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it was supposed to be, that's what they did initially, so it would not be fear of children, because they knew if they feared children was scared of it, the children were anyway.
But then I think, go ahead.
This is, as we mentioned in the previous episode, this is one of the most misunderstood symbols in all of esoteric knowledge, right? So what you said earlier about how even something as simple as, you know, the smile, you know, the wings, the Star of David, everything you mentioned that has a good, you know, meaning behind it, I feel like there's a negative connotation to it somewhere.
It's gonna apply to the Baphomet, right?
Yeah. Like, when you ask somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you ask somebody, you know, look at this picture, they're going to think, oh, it's evil. And you ask them why, they're going to start pointing out the things that you just mentioned. Exactly. The reasons why it's not evil. You feel me?
Yeah, right. Now, you made a real good point. And it's funny because I think really it shows the irony of people. Because the biggest thing I've taken from it is that people love to call themselves the goat. This motherfucker got a goat head, and he's still scared of the motherfucker. Right?
That is funny.
Dude literally got a goat head. This is the goat, but you can't understand that symbolism and that dichotomy through language to you know what I'm saying? To realize that you are the goat. You see what I'm saying? They've been telling you for the longest. You are the goat, my nigga. You see what I'm saying?
That shit is kind of crazy.
And I think if you can't see through like that little grin it has, I think there's two ways you can look at it. You can look at it spiritually and look at and understand all the symbolism, or you can look at it with your ego. And your ego is what's going to tell you, like, oh, man, that's evil, or that's demonic, or that's this, or that's that. You know what I'm saying? When, like, the story behind this symbol and everything it represents is way deeper. And it really demonstrates if someone truly understands it. Because there are some people, there's even people today who speak about conscious stuff who, if you showed them the Baphomet, still wouldn't touch the topic as if they're afraid.
Because every time you see it, all people say is Satan. I don't even know, man. That's just, it's just something where it does not take a lot of effort at all to look into it just a little bit further and realize that everything that you've been taught about this has been misleading. You feel me?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Before we even get deeper into this episode, I want to say that if you look at this cover art for this episode and you go like, oh, this is something I like, go ahead and click on it. I'm telling you, go. And I don't say that in a way to be disrespectful, nor do I truly care at the end of the day. But what I'm saying is you're not ready for information. You know, you might have to come back next lifetime for you to really be able to understand it. You see what I'm saying? Because everything isn't for everybody. I'm not trying to convince you of what's right or anything like that. I'm not even trying to change your mind. We're just here to relay information. And if you can't see this symbol for as a symbol instead of how do people look at this? I think they look at it like a force.
Right?
Because,
you know, bro, it's like in them TikTok videos where something bad happened and in the comments, you'd be like, I rebuke all negative energy from this. It'd be like that, bro. Like,
yeah.
Evil picture. Like, it's when, bad juju.
Like, it's just a symbol. And if you can't see that it's a symbol and it's not going to attack you or come out the page, then this episode would not be for you. And if you, well, I mean, you at part two, right? You go to part one anyway.
I say, you missed the first time around. You said, no, I can handle the second one.
But let's go ahead and go into, like, what this overall as a whole represents. I think with this, we can really even go into things like the Bible. I think that really helps understand what we're looking at. Because what the whole story, okay, people love to make this correlation to the Baphomet is Satan, right?
Right.
Well, let's look at what Satan, what happened to Satan in the Bible. Wasn't Satan like the most beautiful angel?
He was God's favorite angel, and then he still got casted.
But when he fell, he fell back down to hell, hell being earth. You see what I'm saying? He fell back to this plane. So what the Baphomet represents is the fall of Lucifer, nothing but you falling back into your into that human brain. You falling into that shell that we call the body. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's you falling into the reality. Everyone falls back into that. You know what I'm saying? We all fall from our highest. I mean, literally, it's you coming down here into the form of the here. Say what?
I said we all here, so gotta happen to everybody.
Right. So this represents. So what every mythology is telling you about hell is here. This realm is hell in that sense, and. Ooh, almost had a brain fart.
Asking why we in hell, because we in hot hell already. Ask if my skin pale. Why then sell like Eminem or Adele? J. Cole. I like that line. Bro, continue.
Wait, no.
You hear what it said? He said, sending my boys to jail because they asked why we in hell, because we in hell already.
Oh, okay. I know exactly what song you're talking about. Yep.
And they asked for my skin pale. So, yeah, basically that.
And this is why you have the whole concept with the wings, because the wings represent that freedom from you realizing, all right, I'm in this hell. I have to get. I mean, you can take the word. You take the S off the word shell. What does that spell? Hell. That's always been the idea. Religion has told you that it's a otherworldly plane that you're gonna jump and go down to, which. We can really, if we wanted to, we can really break that down. Because I've always told people, if this great deity has such power, I said, why would he succumb you to such torture without reason? You know what I'm saying?
I said that. On that.
Go ahead.
Like the concept of hell is. Because here's my thing: if there's somebody out there who knows you and everything you're gonna do. Before you're even in existence, then why go through the trouble of making that person exist only to send them to hell for the things you already know they're about to do?
And, you know, that even relates to, like, our Dr. Manhattan episode. You know, if you ain't check that episode out, you're really sleeping on some real top-tier gems, real shit.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
Yeah, totally. Definitely check that out. But it kind of represents that line of thought he has where they would be like, remember, he would be like, 5 minutes from now, we're about to have an argument. And she'd be like, bro, what? I'm not about to argue with you. Are you kidding me? And then, you know what I'm saying? And the whole
life, she walked in, you said, I'll sit on the couch now. Why are you leaving? Because you don't kick me out. You said, oh, you know what? Get out of my face. Like, yeah, I said,
literally. And then she literally said, get out of my house. And it's that realization that's like, okay, it also plays into that time being, time is a manipulatable, I guess, construct. Because it's just as real as it is not. It's in this like state of limbo. Time is no different than things like gravity and light. It can also bend and shift. You see what I'm saying?
Which is why, just another dimension. Yeah. At the end of the day, like, if the same way we manipulate things in three dimensions, if you are on a higher plane of existence, I would assume that you can manipulate the fourth dimension, which is time, the same way that we do something like a water bottle or a napkin.
Right. And bringing it back to the Baphomet, I wanted to mention, like, what it also means by this. Hell also represents, to some extent, your root chakra. Of course, the correlation of the color being red. And it's also the easiest frequency that you can see. You see what I'm saying? So this is why it's correlated with, I think red has, like, the lowest frequency, right?
Yeah, on the spectrum,
yeah, and that's why the devil is correlated with red, because you have to see. If you can only see red, let's say if you're colorblind but you can only see red, you're seeing at the lowest frequency possible. This is why the devil is the color of red. Funny enough, in the mythos, Set also has red hair. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy because I watched this one video or documentary, and it was talking about colors and cultures, right, around the world. Mm-hmm. And saying how in many, many cultures around the world, pretty much almost every culture, when they're creating colors, you know, through the mixing of dyes and herbs, plants, whatever they use, they always come up with the same three colors first, right? It's black and white, and then red is the first, like, color that they make. Mm. So the fact that that color is associated so much with, like, survival, you know, it's also the color of our blood. It's just such a striking color, you know, something that's so, I don't want to say important to humans, but something that's so distinct to them.
What it represents, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And what I like when I mentioned, like, the Set being also having red hair in the mythos correlation, Satan being red, I think what often happens, which is not even just the Baphomet, but information in general, is that you have synchronicity disguised as coinkydink. That's what I like to call coinkydinks, coincidences. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Synchronicity. It's all synchronicity, but you want to say, oh, it's just a coincidence. Well, there's no such thing as a coincidence. You see what I'm saying?
Ain't no such thing at all.
There are no accidents.
Which goes into play, as I said, how the Baphomet is, of course, with the color red, it represents the low frequency, it represents all of that. It then shows you that these people that we like to call devil worshipers and everything are not worshiping the devil or even Set, because we know that Set represents negative polarity. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're representing literally just the other half. And these devil worshipers are worshiping just that. Horus, because again, like I said, there was a in the first part, I said there was a deity known as the dual god, which had the head of Horus Set, and it represented the Baphomet, because there is no you without
one without the other.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the devil worshipers are only worshiping Horus, Set, polarities, duality, the black man, if you will. That's all what they're worshiping. But see, not saying you should go around, put on a cloak and go, you know what I'm saying, sacrifice a homie or nothing. But what I'm saying is, if you can understand what they worshiping, you wouldn't fear it either.
Mm-hmm. When you realize that when the Baphomet was originally penned, it was distinctly, it took visuals from so many different other religions, because those religions were being pushed aside when, like, you know, the corrupt church and Christianity tried to force it on the world and whatnot. So when he penned it, I guess it pays tribute to all of them at once. And that's why when the church is saying, oh no, that's the devil, he's pushing all the religions out the day. So that's kind of like, this is the counter movement to that movement.
Yo, and I was also reading up on like when the Baphomet was first the world saw it, how during that time, you know, like you said, the Crusades were happening, right? So the church was going through a lot as far as trying to push their ideals onto the world. And they were talking about how it was some battle, I forget, but they were talking about how the soldier, they were called Muhammad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how the way that they said Muhammad, it sounded kind of like Baphomet.
Mohammed? With an M. Mohammed, I think it was?
Yeah, something like that. So the derivation of the word Baphomet comes from Muhammad, because back then the Christians were trying to portray the Muslims as the devil, because that's who they were going against at the time, right? That's who was opposing their religion.
Yeah, I think they go the Prophet of Muhammad, well, something like that. I can't pronounce it exactly, but something like that.
I'm gonna butcher it if I say it.
Baphomet backwards spelled like Tim of Ab, and I think that correlates, like, in Egyptian, it correlated that word. It was either correlated to a pharaoh, or it was correlated to, I think, the pineal gland, like, itself, the word backwards. So before it was Baphomet, it was like Tim of Ab. I would have to go back and read a little bit of Supreme Science where it broke it down. I might pull it out, find it. But it represented, the word backwards had a whole, literally the opposite meaning of what people, let me say what the connotation is.
Versus. Associated with the word Muhammad, I mean the name Muhammad.
No, not with Muhammad. I'm saying the word Baphomet backwards, Tim of
Ab. Oh, the word Baphomet. Okay.
was a whole different word.
Okay.
And all they did was flip the word, and they changed the connotation. Because we know, if you don't know what connotation means, not the actual definition, it's just like what people use.
Yeah, it's just how it sounds like to people. What's the
understanding? Nah, bro. They sat there and just with the rest of us. They know what damn connotation means. Like, don't explain that shit. We ain't doing this.
Bro, remember, didn't we have a teacher that was really adamant about the connotation and denotation of words?
Yes, that's why I know it so well, bro.
Dr. Best.
How about this? I feel like it was Dr. Best.
Yes.
But even with that, this is why I say people think the Baphomet is evil. I tell people there is no evil in the Baphomet. There ain't no good either. It just is. And mm-hmm. I think that's something I think I'll bring up every episode, because it's something you have to understand to really, if you really want to be quote unquote spiritual or work on even understanding yourself, you have to delineate. There is no difference between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as good and evil. If there's anything that fact remains before you come here, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If someone across the world definition of good and evil is not identical to yours, you know what I'm saying?
But there's so many paradoxes just in like just common world that things view people are wrong and right, you know? But we got the, like, what are you saying?
I was about to say, that's the cool thing about this symbol, though, because although it represents all that there is, it also represents a lot of paradoxes, such as this one of morality.
I mean, you literally have, and it represents the balance so well. It takes someone.
Exactly.
I don't know. You ever see something that's so simple, it's hard because you're overthinking it?
Yes.
This is exactly that. There's nothing too over. You know what I'm saying?
It's not overthinking, but there's a lot of subtle things that about the both the visual and in the meaning of it that people just don't realize. Like, for example, we all know about this is a horned deity, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess the way it was designed is a tribute to all other horned deities, right? So like y'all know Sununos, right? The horned god of wild things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So in his myth, lore, legend, whatever we're gonna call it. It states that for everybody that enters this realm, it's an invitation and a threat. So it's like he says, come and feast, because his realm is plentiful with, you know, fruits and all these feasts and things to hunt. Meanwhile, he says also, beware, because if you step out of line, you will be hunted. You will become the prey, because it's not your home. I like that right there is a paradox, because some people, he's a gracious host. Others, he's a dangerous, you know, hunter.
Right. He's a demon to them.
And, you know, I think it's funny because with the Baphomet, you have such this connotation of always demonic. And it really led me to understand that the concept known as the devil is just created by people. Not even just a devil. This concept of a lower being making you do something is just a scapegoat for people to say that there's something making them be a dick. You know what I'm saying? Or making them be bad. And instead of just understanding that, it's you. No one made you do it.
Mm-hmm. That revolves around the concept of splitting, how it's the best way to get a rise to one action by making an opposite or something for them to oppose against.
Hold on, repeat that.
It's basically the concept of splitting. The best way, if you was to get anyone to do something, the best way to do it is to give them an opposite that they don't want to do, and they're like, "Oh snap! I don't want to be there, so let me go over here."
Got you. And that's literally the concept of the devil or any lower deity or like anything that's like, "Ooh, the devil was here." Or when people see something like, "Ooh, that's the devil." Like, man, I don't even make a damn sense. Homie just couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh God,
the devil represents this concept known as the devil, just represents your lower nature. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because with that knowledge, a black hole is the devil. Dark matter is the devil, is evil. You see what I'm saying? If it's everything that has such a lower color and a low frequency. Because at that point, if you say dark matter is evil, that's 80% of the universe. And you is not
losing. That means you were evil.
You is not losing. You is not nobody from Star Wars. You're not bringing no light home.
Oh, God.
And, you know, I mean, ultimately, this is a symbol of your godhood. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you can't. You call yourself the goat, but you scared when you see it, homie. You a sheep. You just a sheep at that point.
We got lambs out here. What we talking about?
And even like, okay, I think one thing I really wanted to break down was, of course, one of the biggest symbols on it is the Star of David, right?
Mm-hmm.
This also plays the contradictions people have, if because then and this is how you get into the misinterpretation of what things actually mean, what symbols really mean. Because if the Star of David is on the Baphomet, that would mean every Jew is the devil, right? You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
their religion or customs is traced back to this thing. However, that's not even the case. As we know, the Star of David is a five-pointed star, right? And five times it represents a cipher. That's why it's in the circle, right? Circle is 360. Five times 72 equals 360, right? Y'all with me still?
Yeah.
In the Egyptian mythos, Set had 72 conspirators or disciples, right?
Okay.
Who chose to cut up Osiris, right?
Okay, okay.
Those 72 conspirators represent the 72 chakras that rely on your pineal gland. 72 also represents the average heartbeats a person has per minute. And it's also, that is what room temperature is, 72. You might be like, what the hell is the correlation? 72, nigga. And then, the point is...
That's what this game is.
This man just went from temperature to heartbeat. I'm like, what the hell are we talking?
You're like, where are you going with this?
72? Hold on.
And my point is, the understanding numerology or just the implication of numbers is also important to understand. Is we know 360 represents a cipher. It represents the whole. Breaking that down to 5 points and 72 stars. I think that even, man, I think it's like 72 bones in your hand long, something like that, right?
Okay.
Don't you got five fingers? Face that.
Oh, look at this.
But then even from there, we can take it deeper and relating this even to things like Kabbalah, right? Now, I don't remember the names. I'm going to have to
probably... Oh, 27.
Huh?
It's 27 bones in the hand. What is this? 72 flip.
72 flip. You see what I'm saying? Ain't no different. Oh, that's a coincidence. No, it ain't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The same. You telling me how, like, when they zoom into the pupil of a human's eye, it looks like a nebula? How? You a fractal. You a walking fractal. You a walking geometry problem, dude. You made up of shapes. Literally.
At the lowest level, yes, actually, literally.
And I wanted to also make another reference. I was watching the Brother Panic lecture. Y'all listen to Brother Panic. You know, eat the meat, spit out the bones. So I ain't going to tell you to follow no one, but got some good lectures. He made reference into it in some ways of the Kabbalah and made that correlation in the Star Wars, all just to represent the Baphomet. And so he made the correlation that in Star Wars, of course, you only realize that the bad guy only sees the light when they're in the dark side.
Say it again?
The villain, the people who really see the light are the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
Anakin, he went to the dark side, but he didn't understand the light until he was Darth Vader.
Okay, I'm getting you. I got you.
Kylo Ren didn't understand his role. He was running around like a little child, but he didn't understand the power of the light side. He couldn't see the light until he was in the dark, remember? He couldn't make that transition. Because if you go straight to the light, you're gonna go to the dark, but not the way you're supposed to. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You, like I said, we said it before. They tell you when you die to go to the dark. Remember, think about the whole nature of Star Wars. They tell you they're trying to put you against these two forces. Why do you think you gravitate to the dark side characters so much more than the light side?
They reflect more of what's human traits, I guess.
They reflect the lower polarity that you're afraid to admit.
Didn't think about that.
We like to say the good guys win, but let's be real. We love seeing Darth Vader clap someone up. You see
what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, of course.
I was about to say, that's why everybody loves Star Wars, honestly.
Right. No one cared about Luke. I mean, we care about Luke, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
Luke's not as important until you realize that he's going against Darth Vader. That's what makes him important. Like,
exactly the point, the darkness, right?
Yes.
What's the whole premise of Star Wars? That the darkness, the dark side is coming. You have to repel it with the light. But everything still happens to go to the dark side, no matter as the dark comes back. Why? It's showing you. It's showing you. You can't escape the dark. It is part of you. This is why you had it was this one episode of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. I'm about to nerd out for a moment. Where Anakin, they got stuck on this planet, on this moon, and they met the actual embodiments of the Force. And in Star Wars, the Force is just like this. The Force is everything. That's the best way to explain it.
Force is all things.
Right. And so you had the physical embodiment of the light side of the Force, who was the daughter, and you had the physical embodiment of the dark side, who was the son. And you had the father, who was literally the balance. And within this episode, you could see like the main character, Anakin, fighting between the dark and the light. And he went to this one point where he had his Padawan and his master were both being held captive, one by the light, one side by the dark. And they was like, you got to choose which side you going to pick. And he said, I choose both. And he pulled both of them at the same time. And them niggas was... They were flipping out. They were like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You ain't supposed to do that.
Wasn't he like supposed to be like their highest, the one with the highest potential ever or something like that?
Yeah, he had like the highest. I think it's all, I forgot what this count. Oh, it's called like midichlorian count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The highest midichlorian. That just mean melanin.
Hey, bro. I ain't want to say it, but
all they saying is just melanin. You would die.
It was the darkest in the land.
So good. Okay. Okay.
But you see the point. The point was that he pulled both of them at the same time, and people were like, "What's going on? What's going on?" He was the balance at the time. You have to master the dark and the bad. You have to master your positive and negative polarity. That's like someone saying, "I would never do something bad," but you probably already have. You have. There is no you without this negative polarity. There is no light without it. Like I said, that's why I really like the Star Wars example, because you can really visualize it, especially if you watch any of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
With these dark side characters. Sure, you like the light side characters. They're cool and all, but the dark side just looks way cooler. Let's just be real.
Oh, God.
They look cooler. Their stories are more interesting and more intriguing because it feels like, why? Because it feels like that's part of this. It feel more connected to them somehow, right?
Because it's always some example that really correlates with some people out there about why they snap, like the snapping point, what made them go to that side. You feel
exactly, like what they saw that made them say, nah,
ooh,
this is BS.
Oh, best example. I recently, and I want that boy Two-Face, perfect example, bro.
Yeah, that man lives by a coin, right?
Yes, bro. I'm talking about how he became like that. Because, you know, at first, you know, he's Harvey Dent. You know, he's trying to free clean Gotham, make keep crime off the streets and whatnot. And then, of course, the famous line, either you die a hero or you see yourself become the villain. Like,
and he became both. Still really became a villain. But but the whole notion was that it took a balance for him to make a decision. He could be about the heinous thing on the planet. If that coin said, you good today, he said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going home. You know what I
mean? Okay. The boy be like, okay, let's see. Flip a coin. Okay, I'm not going to kill you, but this 3-year-old across the street, damn, unlucky day, my boy. I'd be like, yo.
In addition to like, that was a really good point too. In addition to that, I think in the Kabbalah, there's a term, I think in the Kabbalah called Darth, right? Mm. And the word Darth means knowledge. Man, you can't get no more. You can't get more no like in your face than that. So you name a character Darth Vader. I'm not sure what Vader means, but Darth means knowledge.
Knowledge Vader.
That's almost every Sith name, though. They all got that Darth in the front.
Reverend. But see, think about it like this: why are all the dark side characters more knowledgeable of what's going on in the universe, all the things happening? They're more knowledgeable of the Force than all the light side characters ever are, right?
Bro, okay. You know what's crazy? It's funny you said this, right? Because I was just rewatching the second and third Transformers movies, right?
Dark of the Moon and Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes,
you watch them on Netflix?
Yes,
I was. We're in the same boat, my boy.
I seen thought. Dark of the Moon. I said, oh, I got to see that. I had to see that little spinning one, that little spinning one.
So I was like, when I see they got on Netflix, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to rewatch these. But as I was watching them, you know, as you all know, Transformers is two opposing sides, just like Star Wars, Autobots and Decepticons.
Right.
But I was noticing how most of the plot is driven by the fact that the Decepticons always know more than the Autobots. Like, they always a step ahead.
Yeah. No, literally. That is literally the plot. They're like, I think the Decepticons are making the move.
Because look, it, know about it. In Dark of the Moon, the Autobots thought they were on something. It's like, oh, we found Sentinel Prime. You know what I'm saying? We finna go to the moon, finna save them. And then at the end of the movie, you find out, oh, Decepticon came here 50 years ago and took everything and was waiting for y'all to come in.
Oh, God.
Wanted.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the fact that this all correlates with each other, these are two completely different franchises, but how the dark side equates to the side with the knowledge, that's wild, man.
And wild. You can, but see, you're only going to get knowledge going into the darkness. It's like if another good movie, I think films really help portray this concept of the Baphomet even better. If any of you watch Soul, first of all, animation, amazing. Top tier mocap right
there. Oh, you're talking about Soul when he died? Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Remember how everybody was standing on the little line to go like to the light?
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, yeah, if you go on the light, you just like, we don't know what happens after that, but we don't come back. And he decided to run backwards. You know what I'm saying?
And he fell down and found the beginning of all life and stuff. Like
exactly. He found I'm trying to find a good word.
What was the word they used in the movie? I forgot.
He found a limbo state. He found that limbo
state. Yeah.
He found that limbo state because he decided to go into the dark. And through the dark, he basically managed to come back to life. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The dark, and think about how much he learned just by going to the darkness. We're so afraid of going into the darkness. Because we fear it, we're blocking ourselves with knowledge. Think about, like I said, every Star Wars character is redeemed once they go into the dark side.
I'm about to say it's always a story of redemption.
Remember, Kylo Ren was evil. Kylo Ren killed his dad, goddammit.
Dude almost killed his mom.
Killed his dad before he could realize years later.
Damn, maybe I was tripping.
Darth Vader, it took Darth Vader killing his wife, really. He didn't even know. But killing his wife and enslaving the whole galaxy. But until meeting his son and seeing that little bit of light, he couldn't see the light until he was fully engulfed into the darkness. His character was not redeemed until he died. Think about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You had a Sith become a Force ghost, which is in Star Wars like the ultimate. That's God's sin. You God's here. You know what I'm saying? Once you become a ghost, Force ghost, you're God sent in Star Wars. Your power is unmatched. But the idea was you couldn't become a Force ghost if you were a part of the Sith. Yet he did it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense because what happens in Star Wars? They tell you to never go to the dark side. Stay away from it. And all the people they tell never to go to the dark side happen to always stray into it to some extent.
It's kind of like temptation mixed with a bit of curiosity, because you know, just like in general, like the reason when you're people say they're scared of the dark, they're not scared of the dark. They're scared of what could be in the dark that they don't know yet. Like,
but think about how important that is. You made a perfect point right there. We're like, say it one more time.
The whole thing.
Yep, say the whole thing.
Oh, you gotta get it all,
bro. <After him. laughs> I'm asking, but no, I got a call. I'm asking, okay, my bad. But no, I was saying how it goes to the concept of how, like, it's both curiosity and temptation. Because, like, even when I was a kid, I'm scared of the dark. I'm not scared of the dark itself. I'm scared of what could be in the dark that I don't know yet. It could be a good surprise. It could be an accidental murder. We never know, but hey.
Focusing on that curiosity and temptation, that's the inner workings of that's your subconscious talking. Your subconscious is saying, nah, bro, something in there I need. You know what I'm saying? So you straying away from the darkness it's like telling your mind, man, fuck you, bro. You don't know nothing. You literally are folding yourself. You are literally deliberating yourself from getting the light. Think about it. You can't get the light unless you understand the dark. Does people not see the polarity in that?
Mm-hmm.
The duality, the yin and yang. Aang would not be able... Shoot, we can start referencing everything. Aang wouldn't have been able to really truly understand his avatar state if he ain't never got pissed in the avatar state. You know what I'm saying?
Like, wasn't the first whole season?
Say what?
No, I said, well, like the first season when he went avatar, he was scared of himself. He was scared of the power of it. Like,
and even then, I think this is another thing I wanted to mention. It's not related to Star Wars. I think we did enough of the Star Wars talk. I think they get the message. We like Star Wars and superhero stuff. But those really hold the most gems. Everything sci-fi isn't fiction. It was never was.
Because them art authors and illustrators, who the ones who be making them be the ones that be up on this knowledge. And all they be doing is writing these same symbols in a way that looks appealing to everybody.
I tell people, there's no way everything at Fantastic Four, the comics, is not real. That's a double negative. All that shit is real. Trust and believe. You don't just sit there and start talking about negative zones and the stuff you would read. The stuff reading Fantastic Four comics, especially from really the 60s, it felt like he was reading a science fiction, not even like an astrophysics paper. Every time Mr. Fantastic talked, you have to sit there and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. I think, you know.
I'm about to say, every time you say something, even though it sounds wild and you know it don't exist yet, it sounds like something that should exist or probably do exist somewhere out there.
I'll never forget where in the series Illuminati, everybody took the stone. Oh, I'm about to go crazy, man.
By throwing his Fantastic Four suit as we speak. Go ahead, Aaron. Go.
In the Illuminati series, you have like this group of heroes, right? So you have Doctor Strange, you have Professor X, you have Black Bolt, who people may not know. You have Iron Man, Mr. Fantastic, and Namor. Each one of them, they together fight. They fight threats that no one knows is there. Not like the Eternals, more like stuff that would affect the whole universe. They gonna handle it on their own. You know what I'm saying? Real CIA mob shit. And it's funny because at one point they each took an Infinity Stone and hit it. And I think the two people who's represented the most, that made the most sense, everybody else sounded unrealistic. Namor said, yeah, I hit it in a very secret underwater vault. Iron Man is like, yeah, I got a whole bunch of firewalls. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But Doctor Strange, Mr. Fantastic, and Professor X had the three that made the most sense, right? I think Doctor Strange threw his in a pocket dimension inside that he created, right?
Okay.
It's so different than correlating stuff to that 9 power of melanin that we are each all capable of. Professor X then threw his stone he threw it in the subconscious of his mind. Crazy. You know what I'm saying? Wait.
He threw a physical stone into the subconscious of his mind.
He threw the mind stone into his subconscious.
How the hell he do that?
He locked it within his subconscious. So to get it, you had to not only break through the conscious mind, which is fairly easy, you had to, in the subconscious mind, just say it's easily manipulable, but to break it is a different understanding. Programming and breaking are two different things.
Well, the conscious mind for Professor X is pretty lethal, but continue.
I'm not saying and the Professor X of all people.
And he locked it within the subconscious of his mind. And Doctor Strange, I think he locked it in like some stuff called the Man of Ragnarok. You know,
sound about right.
But I think it just goes back to say, I think we kind of strayed off the topic of the Baphomet, but we didn't. I don't think we did, but we didn't. If you understand, if you still catching the drift, that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, all this information, everything we're saying, everything from the sci-fi movies to just the straight history, all correlates to you and your power. The Baphomet is nothing to be feared. You know what I'm saying? It was always on your side from the jump. You was just too afraid of it. And it's no different, you know, especially if you like, even if you like, say you like Buddhist or Hindu mythology or those concepts, right? The Baphomet is in there too. It's just represented. Well, one, you have the Baphomet holds up the same palm as the Buddha. You know what I'm saying? That's undeniable. You also have Kali. And Kali represents that same thing, as I said. Remember how Lucifer was the best angel in heaven?
The favorite, yes.
Down to the earth. Kali, she was a cosmic force. She was the strongest. She was the most beautiful. She was like this heavenly deity. But when she came back to the planet Earth, she was in the embodiment of destruction. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that was her lower self. That's why she come down and she wreaked havoc. She don't want to be here.
Damn. She mad because she got
home. She's destroying it because it represents, oh, this is this fabricated reality. I want to get back to my heavenly structure.
Shit, I'd be pissed too.
Right? That's why I tell people, if you can't understand this or if this is too much for you, it's probably too grown for you. You might not be in that state in your mission. You know what I'm saying? You might not be on that level yet. Or you just can't beat that level. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you gotta bow down to like certain things that you just not ready for. You know what I'm saying? It's like
I wouldn't give up. I feel like everybody can do it. It just take a lot more work than everybody else.
But like I said, some people have to wait till next lifetime. You know what I'm saying?
Man, mm-hmm. If you gotta wait till you die to figure this out.
You gotta come back again.
I got some concerns.
Thanks, but bro.
Think about it like this: all of us have probably been back here 2 or 3 times. What you think, Deja?
Yes, I'm about to say that's also true. Who is there? I could be on my 117th flight now.
Oh damn,
it's no different than, you know, even the concepts of deja vu represent that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You ever see something? I had deja vu one day. We were listening to music in the car with some of my friends. Except the only difference this time was that it was my new car. And I was like, hold on, I've been here before. I said, I done switched up some shit in the timeline.
Oh, man.
Last deja vu, I was in the Corolla. Now I'm in the Elantra. Something done changed.
Oh, shit. Now you about to start disappearing the Speed Force. God damn it, Aaron.
But everything, like I said, from Star Wars, from the Kabbalah, from the Star of David, from the number 72. All this plays into the Baphomet. Everything we says is still the Baphomet. You see what I'm saying? I think mm-hmm. that's the biggest takeaway, is that you can't escape it. It is. It simply is.
In layman's terms, it goes to two biggest concepts of this. A, what's it called? The Baphomet is a parallel in paradox, okay? All the forces you think would be good, all the forces that you would call evil, somewhere in
it. I'm about to write that down. I'm going to make that an episode name.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, that's the biggest one. First of all, it's in representing. So what you would think would be good, all of this representing the Baphomet. Second one is, you have to take that step back and just think and realize, okay? Because the whole point of this thing was the counter movement to the crusades when the church was trying to force it on everybody. This is a counter movement. So, of course, you being programmed to the religion wherever you were born into is going to tell you not to listen to this. So it's really up to you at this point.
But you said the impartial paradox?
I said
parallel paradox.
Yes.
He does it impartial.
But I'll send it to you, bro. We do this after, bro. Like,
I ain't going to lie. I really like that. That just sounds too clean.
Somebody, dude, I ain't gonna lie, that must sound like an anime superpower, like somebody's final move.
Sound like a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Okay, so stand in for the Fresh Fair video game starring Parallel Paradox. And
you activate your Yu-Gi-Oh trap card. This is Baphomet, Parallel Paradox.
That sounds fun.
Oh, it's gonna be some shit like you have to give all your nigga your best cards. Like, god damn it, I was gonna use that.
That's actually a card in the game, too. I hate that one.
That shit crazy.
Dude took my blue eye solid silver dragon. I was like,
oh man,
lost immediately.
Well,
but on that
about me, bro.
I think we definitely did a good job extrapolating this episode. Definitely deeper than the first part, and I think probably the last one of this, because I do still, as much as important as this is, I do feel like the Baphomet is still a very basic concept in the science of the occult. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all the 7 laws of Tahuti. You know what I'm saying? Right. It represents as above, so below. You literally have the what you would call the demonic top half with the lower body half. You have the cause and effect half, right? You have those same implements. You have polarity, which it's just a giant. It's just a giant positive and negative symbol. And
yeah, you got the tribute to all the other horn guys. You got separate on one arm. You got together on the other arm in Latin. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you literally have top. You have the ram guys on top. So that represents not only the correlation to the astrology. You have that Aries ram head on top for a reason. Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit of Bacchus, the god of wine. You know, wine can celebrate or cause anger.
Look,
a little bit of that in there, too.
You know what I'm saying? You know?
I got some breastises, but I also got some male pieces.
Yeah, I ain't what it said, but I was thinking it.
I'll be
wanted to say it the whole episode, bro. I said, when can you talk about these damn breasts, bro? Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, like the breasts represent nurture of
yes,
the nurturing of your mind. See, you suck on the titty.
And the milk will bring knowledge. I'm gonna stop. Okay.
Nah, it's funny enough because I've even heard statements. Some people say that God is a nipple. I don't want to go into that because
I see what they're getting at, but that's just weird to hear, bro.
That's a wild sentence.
Cause I had some interaction with nipples before, and I just don't want to think of.
Hey. But think about it: the nipple, a singularity, Big Bang, face app.
So what? The Big Bang was a squirt. You know what you're telling me, bro?
But I mean, we was the Big Bang in essence. Everyone is a Big Bang. As above, so below. You telling me the universe burst out of this womb of nothingness? You see what I'm saying?
See, now, family, gonna try because I just imagine the most sluttiest fit idea when we just said. Big Bang burst out a nipple, bro.
On that note, we will close out this episode.
I think that's a great idea.
Yes, bro. All right, bro. For men to kings.
From kings to gods.
It's men to kings? All right, never mind. Start over. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Is it men to kings? Hold on.
It is.
Okay, yeah. It
sounded weird for a second. I don't know why.
God damn, now we tripping. From men to kings?
It's from kings to gods.
This has been Fresh Bear Entertainment. Family.
And we outie.